unduly influence your decision.
We'll give you more of him later. Jet Brunner from the album Klezmer Mongrel. If you're interested, go to iTunes. I'm sure you'll find him there. Today we're sitting in the offices of the Kultur Congress, the Congress for Jewish Culture. And I'm sitting with Shane Baker, who is the director of the Congress for Jewish Culture.
The director.
The director, yes. And today we'll be moving back and forth between Yiddish and English. First, my weekly report on what's going on at the Simon Wiesenthal Museum of Tolerance. I wasn't at the demonstration this week, so I really don't know what to report. I have not heard from the people at Simon Wiesenthal. I doubt that I will. And again, I wonder why they ever opened their mouths in the first place. They should have just kept their mouths shut. You know, people in glass houses should not be throwing stones. It's just still incredible to me that with their plans to build in Jerusalem cemetery, that they should accuse the Park 51 people of insensitivity. It's pretty incredible. It is. So, Shane, what's that so happy spying Kultur Congress? What's going to be on the boards? What's going on? What have you got planned? Why don't you tell us about the next Café Häus, when and where? And
you bet. Thursday, the 18th of November, we're going to have Benjamin Ginsberg and the Breslover Bar Band in our coffee house program. Fortunately, it won't be the whole band because we have a small space and they themselves would fill it. But it'll be a duet. And the rest of the space will be available to be filled with audience. You can find out more about that at KONGRES at earthlink.net. That's Congress in Yiddish, like it's supposed to be spelled. KONGRES. That's 1S at earthlink.net. Aside from that, we have a few interesting things coming up. If you look at this stack of papers here, that is the proofs of a 450-page biographical dictionary of Soviet Yiddish literature that we are on the verge of publishing after about 6 years of work. The man who used to edit our journal, Chaim Beder, Zechrono Levracha, this is his life's work. This is his magnum, 2003, and his former associates, Boris Sandler and Gennady Estreich, Sandler of the Yiddish Vorwärts, Estreich of the Vorwärts, and more importantly, New York University, took it upon themselves to finish the editing of the entries, and they put it together, and I'm reading correction on it. And within 6 months, we'll have a new Yiddish book out, 450 pages. Some of these authors have not been covered in any other volume anywhere. Some of them are covered in our 8-volume lexicon von der Neue Yiddische Literatur, Modern Biographical Dictionary of Yiddish Literature. But details are missing because it was published when the Iron Curtain was still up and strong. And for the author himself, Chaim Beder, our entry says Goyrel Umbakant. Ist Wesen mir schon.
Was soll ich sagen?
He was there in the Soviet Union. He took part in the off-lab of Yiddish literature with the Sovjetische Heimland, which started publication after our first volume was already published. He was involved with that, and eventually he came America here, where he edited our journal, worked with the Vorwärts, and he passed away of cancer in 2003.
Mm.
Lovely man, very dedicated to Yiddish literature, and it was a real honor to know him, and we took it as our holy work to get this volume out, and now it's coming out.
That's wonderful news. Who will receive this volume once it's published? Who do you expect? I'm sure the universities will be interested. And
it'll be particularly important for universities and libraries. But we think that there are any number of individuals who will find it of value. Perhaps there are families of writers out there who are proud of what their parents, grandparents, uncles did for Yiddish literature, and they'll purchase it. I don't say that this has the broadest appeal of anything that we could publish, but it will be an invaluable resource for researchers of Yiddish and Soviet literature.
Well, it's good to hear that there is at least one Yiddish organization that is doing something to preserve our traditions and culture in a meaningful way. Just out of curiosity, what has been in the past few years, or since you've been involved with the Congress, what has been your best seller?
Our best seller?
So to speak.
Well, the biographical dictionary, the lexicon, the 8-volume lexicon for the Neue Yiddische Literatur, is certainly, I think I can say without reservation, that's the most important volume that we ever published. We still get orders for volumes of it today. That may be the best seller. I mean, High Wolf, who runs our bookstore, could possibly say more clearly, but you know, we've published new works and those sell. Zbislach, we published a lovely volume of Yoni Fine's Yiddish poetry,
which is wonderful poetry,
called Der Fünfte Mann. You've read from it.
Yeah.
And it sells. Okay. So Bislach, I mean, poetry doesn't sell in any language.
Right.
It may sell more in Yiddish than it does in English, because the Jews love their poets.
Yeah.
I mean, and also some translations by our esteemed president, co-president, Yoni Fine being a co-president as well, Barnett Zumoff. We have a volume of poems about mother in both languages, and sounds
about Zumoff's mother,
among others. And we also published in English a volume by George Alexander, whose father was a prominent Bundist in Krakow and a vice president of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union here in America. And it's in English. For the past 1,000 years. And as he begins, he's a genealogist, and as he begins to find documents about his family, then it switches from a general history to his, and how what's happening with them reflects the general culture. And right up to his own experience when he left Krakow after the war, he survived in Kruke Plesce in the camp where Schindler's List was there. He was not on Schindler's List, but he survived. His own story takes up the last few chapters and is, as you can imagine, quite gripping. He has some controversial things to say in the book. He opens by arguing that the Poles had a large role to play in the salvation of the Jews. You know, in the, whatever Jews survived the war, he argues that if you multiply that by the number of Polish families who had to help them, that it adds up to a substantial number of people who helped. And I think that there are a lot of people who would want to argue against that. A millennium of Jewish history in the Polish city of Krakow.
Was he a scientist as well?
Yeah, he's a biochemist. And he's done a lot of study on memory.
And LSD. Didn't he do work with LSD?
Yes, he did.
That was my problem. No, I'm
strict. I did some research, too, in my own time.
It was all I could do. I was at that lecture. It was all I could do to go up to him and say, got anything for me? Got anything good?
Well,
it was just so, it was such a strange juxtaposition of things, you know, that here's a man who had such an interesting life as a, had such an interesting life and is a historian, genealogist. And he also happens to be a scientist who's done some very interesting research. Let's see. Oh.
A break for 30 seconds?
Yeah, we're going to go to a break. It seems like we don't have a very good... those of you who aren't listening, take a break.
Shane Baker with your correspondent David Mandelboim, and we're here to rock your Yiddish Welt.
Well, we were just talking about publishing your publishing activities at the Congress, and are there plans to reopen SECO, which, you know...
SECO is still open. The bookstore is still open. New York has one Yiddish bookstore, the Zentrale Yiddische Kultur Organisatia, 212-505-5305. It's at 25 East 21st Street until December. Then the books will go into storage, and we will operate out of our offices here on 26th Street. But it'll be harder to get in to see the whole stock of books.
Well, hopefully you will be able to reopen somewhere. Really, I think it's shameful that the funds are not available for you to do so right away. Considering the amount of money that some of the organizations who profess to be concerned with Yiddish culture have, organizations like the National Yiddish Book Center, organizations like the Forward, organizations like now the Workman's Circle. They all claim poverty, but they've all got a nice pile sitting on a nice pile of money, which I guess they're saving for their pensions.
Well, it's funny you mention the National Yiddish Book Center. We have an odd relationship with Aaron Lansky, who runs that. 20 or so years ago, 22 years ago, when it was really just getting off the ground there in Amherst, it had been in New York, it moved there. We had even more books than we do now. Much of it was in storage. So we made a deal with him to purchase half of our stock at $2 a book, 40,000 books, $80,000. He came, and we gave him instructions that they were to take only the books that were in boxes, not on the shelves. They took the books on the shelves, which were the books that we really wanted to keep. They loaded them into the truck, and then they took off. And when he got them there, he said he didn't have the money. He would give us a dollar a book. And we agreed to that. And a few years ago, we found out he was publishing our books, republishing them, via the Steven Spielberg Fund and selling them in stores, books that were still under copyright that we had boxes of left over from when he was here. And there was quite a back-and-forth correspondence about that. Finally, he stopped publishing them. But he never really made any kind of reparation for that. His offer now is to take any books that the Tzico does not have storage for. Anything we can't store, he'll graciously take for free. They have provided $1,000 in support towards our coffee house programs, and for that we are eternally grateful. But we hope that we'll get some more support soon.
No. Don't hold your breath. I'm not holding mine. Well, look, I know Amherst is a town that is crawling with Yiddish speakers.
Crawling with Yiddish-speaking Jews who fill up those buildings he's building. It's a sitot na simcha uva.
What can we do?
I don't know why the new Yiddish rep doesn't move up there.
Yeah. Sure. I'm sure we would get quite a crowd coming down to shows. speaking of the new Yiddish rep, we just came from Yiddish Tag, a project of the Jugendtruf, where we performed a little bit. Shane did some a word concert featuring one. Why don't you tell people what exactly you did?
A little bit of Yiddish by Avrom Liesen, Avrom Wald, is also known as. Then a poem called Times Square by David Krivitsky. Not a very well-known poet, mostly lighter stuff, but that one poem he wrote specifically for Yosef Bulov, and it's a nice piece about getting lost in Times Square, and particularly appropriate today, given how it's become kind of the beating heart of New York again, as sanitized as it may be. The poem has a new life because of that. And in fact, I'm working on adapting it, getting rid of the IRT and BMT and changing it to JMZ and ABC and so forth. One day, maybe you'll hear it on this show. And then I close with Ochsenkamp, with the poem by this author, Kupsan, that no one seems to know who it is. He wrote this incredible poem in probably Ukrainian or Russian, and Moshe Leib Halperin put it into Yiddish. And this is probably the most powerful poem that I recite.
It is, incidentally, a part of the Big Bupkis show, which was developed at the New Yiddish Rep, and which Shane does with such panache. The Big Bupkis, the Complete Gentile's Guide to Yiddish Vaudeville, which we hope to reprise next year sometime.
Don't miss it.
Absolutely.
Or do.
And What else do we know is coming up in the world of Yiddish? You're working on a tribute to Minna Byrne, are you not?
Yes. Minna Byrne, I'm sure most of you know, was the last Yiddish actress still performing in the States who was active in the European Yiddish theater. She played with Moshe Brodersen's theater in Lodz. She made it through World War II on the Soviet side, performing in the Bialystok Miniatur Theater with Jigan and Schumacher, her old friends, Lola Fulman, and Judas Berg and Felix Fiebig. Judas Berg choreographed the Dybbuk for the film. Anyway, Mina was a very dear friend of mine, an inspiration to me in the world of Yiddish, and for many years an active and supportive member of the Congress for Jewish Culture, as she was of all Yiddish organizations. She was a true fighter for Yiddish culture. She passed away last January, and for her Yahrzeit, we're arranging a memorial program to be held at a location to be announced. And friends will speak about her, will show some of the documentary footage that the photographer Joan Roth has taken over many years of working closely with Mina. She's got hours and hours of footage. Some of it is just fascinating. It's like being there in Mina's living room or kitchen and having her talk to you about her life, which was a colorful life by all means, or making you a bowl of her chicken soup. And we'll have some footage of Mina's work on the Yiddish stage and in film, and some rarely heard recordings of her as well. So it promises to be an interesting, exciting, and informative evening, as the lady herself was endlessly fascinating to anyone who came in contact with her.
Well, we'll make a real effort to tape some of it and, with permission, broadcast some of it on the show so that people can hear it who can't make it. I'm sure she has fans throughout the country who would be more than interested.
Throughout the world.
Throughout the world is right.
She played for a time in Israel before it was Israel. She emigrated to Palestine after the war, and she entertained troops during the War of Independence.
At that time, it was still legal to use Yiddish?
Yes, and then she was playing with a small Yiddish troupe in a location called Huberman's Garten and a few other locations, and then the Gekumen Anukaz feels auch schuldig, was ich red English, also ich red wegen meiner Band.
Nein, man makes red Yiddish.
Man hört sich nicht zu, sei wie so.
Ja.
The Gekumen Anukaz as alle Daphne Rieber in hebräischen Theater und in Meshach von 30 Tagen ist er angenommen geworden in einem Theater Li-La-Lo. Und dort hat sie gespielt, dort hat man geschrieben für ihr neue Lieder, wo es werden gesungen, noch Adayim, dort in Israel, der Schutfus Altermann und ich vergesse, wie sie heißt, der Zweite, geschrieben für ihr Lied Arzenu Haktantonet, was sie gewann die Erste, das zu singen, und sie wird noch als gesungen, noch als ein populäres israelischer Lied.
Sie hat gerät Hebräisch oder nicht?
Ken.
Ja. We've been talking about Minna Byrne, and Shane said it was... He couldn't speak about Minna without speaking in Yiddish. It was just—he felt too guilty about it. So, what else have you got on the boards here at the? You've just published a magazine, or you are about to send it out. Is that not so? And where can people?
We've just published, and we're sending out the newest number of the Zukunft, the future, the world's oldest Yiddish literary magazine. And yet, when you read it, you'll feel it's the world's newest. Subscription is $25 a year. or actually for two issues, which is expensive, but you'll enjoy it. In this number, we have an interview with Chava Lapin, who was for many years active with the Workman's Circle and is one of the better Yiddish teachers out there, also with the YIVO. I just lost my table of contents. We have poems by Boris Sandler, editor of the Yiddish Forward and of the Tzukun, an essay by Yechiel Scheintuch of Hebrew University, Avrom Sutzkever und sein Lied von Vilna Ghetto, which is about variations in the text of Unter deiner weißen Sternen, and various and sundry other articles and poetry that will be interesting for anyone who can learn a Yiddish word.
Sag mir, was ist deine Hoffnung für die Zukunft in der Kulturkongress?
Wir wollen verwandeln unser Büro da in einen Lehensaal, in einen jüdischen Lehensaal. Wo Menschen sollen sich zu neuf kommen, haben mal Schmues, reingucken in ein jüdisches Buch, wir werden einführen in eine wöchentliche Mittag, wo man soll sich zu neuf kommen, essen zusammen und einer soll reden wegen seinem Leben oder lernen von sein hier, neigedrückt Bichel, jüdische Lieder und so weiter und weiter. Hört man seinen, der allweltliche jüdische Kulturkongress. Also steht der Name. Aber lassen wir sehen, was wir können tun da in New York zuallererst.
Wo sind die Möglichkeiten? Wie springen
Kassel und Wasser? Ich darf machen Platz da im Büro. Wie bald wir wollen haben, Sklad für die Bücher von Zico. Weil darüber eine Sache von unseren Archiven zu seinem Platz. Wir wollen das reklamieren. Da auf dem Radioprogramm, auf dem Internet. Und wir kommen, wir sehen, wer es hat kommen.
Okay.
Und wer es hat kommen, wird reden wegen dem, seine Freunde wollen kommen.
Okay.
Mit zu haben wie Masse Wasser.
Ich hoffe es ja, ich hoffe es ja. Nee, lass mich reden wegen Jiddisch Theater ein bisschen. Du hast letztens gesehen der neue Volksbühne Spiel mit Five Schwinkel und das Silence ein bisschen.
Five ist ein lieber Mensch und ich habe ihn sehr hoch. Es ist allemal ein Vergnügen, ihn zu sehen. Ich meine, es wird gedacht, ein bisschen strenger zu neu binden als Ding. Aber was kann man tun? Ich meine, es schließt sich ein. Das kann ich nicht sagen, ich habe ein Billett jetzt, weil es ist vermacht. Und wie alle Theatervorstellung ist es da und auch weg. Wurde ich daher nehmen.
Sie scheinen. It's not over yet, is it?
Today's the last day.
Today's the last day. Okay, I didn't realize. Well, that's a fitting day to talk about it. Well, now we're going to have Rafi Goldwasser, and he's going to do his adaptation of Gilgul Finanding.
I'm also charged with taking part in the evening.
Are you, really?
I read the Zwei Brüder for a ballet that they're doing. Michael Baran and I.
Oh.
So teilt das Lied. Und ich habe gemacht ein großes Stück von dem inmitten. Und führt da rein und führt da raus. Und,
heißt, die ganze Sache ist the whole thing is dance with your...
The Zwei Brüder. Es ist ein Lied von einem Vierseitler.
Ah.
Nicht Peretz Beste, aber... Nun.
Okay, look. The Volksbühne is going to move into the avant-garde. and I wish them the best of luck.
It's nice that after we did our Parrots Evening, it inspired them to make a Parrots Evening of their own.
Okay, well...
And we'll continue forward with our Parrots Evening as well,
yes.
Which is seeing some new... Naya Gilgulim, you will continue to do Olam Haba, which you played today very well.
Thank you.
And that's quite it's quite a lovely piece. Zaya Yiddish Luch, Nu Vos Denses von Peretzen, but it's Hot Dirozhenka. And you said you wanted to include Monish.
Right.
Reading that I do. And we'll add in another piece, and we'll do that out there in Brooklyn in the new location.
Yes, hopefully. And look, it's also Parrots, an anniversary for Parrots, right? So what is it? The
Finnefa 96th Yahrzeit.
The 95th anniversary of his passing.
This year.
And look, it's not to belittle Singer at all. But it seems as though, in terms of Yiddish artists, Yiddish writers, he gets most of the play. All you see is Singer this and Singer that. There are a lot of great Yiddish writers out there that deserve the same kind of exposure. I think Peretz is one of them. He did not write an awful lot of drama. But what he wrote, much of it is so wonderful. And of course, his two best-known pieces are "The Golden Kite" and "Bei Nacht auf Altenmark."
Yeah.
I know "Bei Nacht auf Altenmark" was produced by I don't know who actually wound up producing it, but Frank London did music for it, and it was something that supposedly was going to be done. With the Volksbühne, but like many other things that go on the boards with them, it fell through. They wound up doing it in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
And the odd thing is that the guy who got the best review out of it was Levi Okunoff, who did the costume. They loved the costume.
You know, the Golden Arcade, since no one's listening...
Yeah.
The Golden Arcade, there's an interesting story about that. The Dybbuk, which is so well known as the greatest Yiddish play, was the great success of the Vilna Truppe, who performed at Vronsky's Yahrzeit 90 years ago, this December. Now, Vronsky is the author, the great folklorist and ethnomusicologist, or whatever you call it, ethnographer. Vilna Truppe wanted to produce, their goal was to produce the Golden Arcade by Peretz. But they were all Litvakas, and they felt like they couldn't really get into the Hasidish world, and they kept waiting and waiting, and finally they got a director, someone tied with the troupe, David Herman, who was a Polisher Yid from the Hasidish Nobstam, and they were ready to attack the Golden Arcade. And Anski passed away, and they said, we must do the Dybbuk, which they had the script. And so they did that, and that became their great success. Who knows but what Peretz might have been the one had it been otherwise. I don't know if the Golden Arcade would have been so popular by the Emus Hoylem as the Dybbuk is because of the ghost story and all that. But
well, and also because it has a... but the Golden Arcade is a very interesting piece. The premise of it is extremely interesting.
Fascinating.
And, you know, if you look at most of, at least the drama that Peretz wrote, a great deal of it is tied up in the conflict between the secular and the religious world, and also even this piece, Olam Haba, which is... told from the point of view of a religious Jew and his wife. It's really, in some ways, it's hard to say that... it really is, in some ways, a woman's... a feminist piece. The wife has about six or seven wives, But those six, the last line that she has really says the whole story, and that is how many, because he talks about Garden of Eden being whatever you wish for yourself in this world, you get in the next world, only on a much better level. And the last little vignette he talks about is about a rich man who gives a lot of charity, and how poor people are constantly coming in and out, and they come in depressed and thin and bedraggled, and they leave happy and singing, and the rich man sits there and he quells, and his heart grows in him from joy at looking at this, and the man sees that his wife is very she's thinking, you know, she's very preoccupied, and he says, well, what's going on? How come you're so preoccupied all of a sudden? She says, I was just thinking, how many poor people does it take for a rich man to have the Garden of Eden? And it really is typical of Peretz to make a statement like that. And if you look at the drama that he's written, much of it deals with the plight of women in religious Judaism, the conflict between the religious ideal and the reality. So he never quite escaped his upbringing. He never quite broke free of it. It was always something that was on his mind, and it shows through in his drama, and in a good deal of his prose, of his short stories. He is a great, great. Of course, he was the mentor to Amsky, and how many others came to his salon and cut their teeth with him. So it's only fitting that he gets some play. It would be nice if some of the other great Jewish writers and playwrights got their due. People like Pinsky and Sholem Ash and Peretz Hirshbein. It's simply nobody's producing them. Nobody's doing them. And that's one of the things that I would like to see the new Yiddish rep do. And that is go down the line and produce the great classic Yiddish plays. Of course, to do that, it takes money. So if any of you out there would like to see that happen...
I hope you're not talking to me.
No. Please go to our website, newyiddishrep.org, and make a donation. And we have to do it because nobody else out there is doing it.
We'll visit your pockets.
Yeah. If you want to support people who have in mind serious Yiddish theater, please do give us a donation. We will do our best. Right now, we are still working on and getting closer to producing the Yiddish Shylock, which is Jacob Adler's cut of The Merchant of Venice. Should be a very interesting evening. And by the way, a very quick one, since he cut half the play, mainly so he could spend most of the time on stage. But then, naturally, I don't think he felt that the Yiddish audience was much interested in the Portia subplot. And the great Yiddish actors, that's what they wanted. They wanted to command the stage, to dominate the stage. In this instance, it gives kind of a new perspective on the play. And we're looking forward to doing it. Beyond that, we're going to do a continuous the Peretz piece. We'll be reprising Yossel Rocker Speaks to God, and Shane will be reprising the Big Bubkis. Beyond that, we will I'd love to produce something by Hirshbein. I've been thinking about Kias Kaf. What do you think, Shane? Have you read the piece?
No.
you know, we have to hone in on pieces that don't have all that many characters because we can't afford big productions. But it's an extremely interesting piece. There's another piece by Hirschbein that I would love to do in Yiddish. When I was associated for briefly with what is now called the New World Theater Project. At that time, it was called the Diaspora Drama Group. And we produced a play by Hirschbein called Novella, Carcass, a very brutal play about Jewish, how shall we put it, lower classes, real proletarians, harrowing piece. Unfortunately, we never did it in Yiddish, which is one of the reasons that I parted company with those folks. They're still producing, and I wish them lots of luck. They're producing in English, I hope they continue to do so. One of the other things that I am hoping to do, and I'm hoping to get Moshe Yasur to direct it, is a play in Hebrew by Hanoch Levin called The Labor of Life. Levin was an extremely, extremely interesting playwright. I mean, his stuff is wonderful. The Hebrew is much of it is in verse, he's really probably the greatest modern Israeli playwright. And hopefully, we will do this show in Hebrew. It's a three-character piece. Of course, there's a good part in it for me, which is one of the reasons for doing it. Shane, you don't speak Hebrew.
No.
Lamati
aval shachachti.
Ah, okay.
That's what they taught me to say. The old Bundes.
Well, I have nothing per se against Hebrew. It's really a pity that the Zionist leadership felt it necessary to... what's the word I'm looking for? I'm trying to be kind. Turn their backs on Yiddish in order to revive Hebrew, something that really was not necessary at all. It's hopefully they will be making up for it to some extent by funding things like Yiddish Spiel. I intend to ask them to help us out with this production of Levine. Why not? And hopefully to help us out with the preserving our Yiddish theater traditions here in the United States. I should hope that they would make a point of trying to do something in that regard. Yiddish is such a rich language. It's such a part of the Jewish soul that it would be a pity to see it go by the wayside. And as much as the Yiddishisten are patting themselves on the back about the revival of Yiddish and the renaissance of Yiddish culture. Look, folks, it simply is not, you know, it's not really happening to the extent that we can expect Yiddish to survive outside of academia. You know, in Amherst, for instance, it will survive in those buildings and possibly as part of the university program there. But on the street, even the Hasidim are slowly losing a lot of the words, a lot of the old expressions, the language is very slowly fading away. Part of the way that we can bring some life back into it is through theater, through art, through making it accessible to the public, making it constantly accessible to the public. And I mean Yiddish theater that you can go to 32 weeks out of the year, if not more. And during those 32 weeks, one should be able to see not one play or two plays, but a dozen Yiddish plays. There should be constant readings of Yiddish plays. One of the most important things I think that need to be done is the transliteration of Yiddish plays into English phonetics, because that's going to go a long way to allowing us to train new Yiddish actors. That's one of the things you have to have in hand. It's being done as it comes up, as it is needed, but it is certainly not being done for the great Yiddish classics, and it's important work. It may not be the most, it's a bit of drudgery to do. You're not doing anything terribly creative when you're doing it, but it is important work, and funds need to be found to do it. Unfortunately, I often feel that I am just, in point of fact, speaking into the air.
Don't see the wall in front of you?
Yeah. Well, I see that even when I'm talking to people about this, even when I'm talking to live people about it, many of them just simply do not want to hear it. I find myself from time to time getting discouraged. But I don't let it affect me for long. Because, you know, you've got to keep trying. As long as we have the opportunity to even bring a little bit of Mama Lushin out there for people to hear and enjoy, we need to do it. We may bandy things about this one or that one, but folks, any Yiddish programming that is out there by any organization is something that should be supported. Without question, without reservation, and uncategorically. So hopefully what we will wind up doing is all push each other to go further, to do better, to do more. I don't know what more I can say about that. I know that you have a decision to make coming up about whether you're going to do Herschel Ostropolia again.
Look, we have a saying in the Yiddish theater. When we aren't eating pickles, we're making cucumbers. And when we aren't making cucumbers, we're pickling them.
That was a great experience. We both worked with Jenny Romaine in the Sukkos Mob this year. That was a lot of fun. And we went to places where you would not think ordinarily we would be going, such as Sarah Lawrence and SUNY Purchase. But my favorite was the gig in Queens, in the park in Queens, where the show was actually done in Yiddish, English, and Spanish. You have to love that kind of theater. I know I do. And it was wonderful to be able to do it again after being away from it for close to 40 years. But we will go forward hopefully ever onward. Next week's show will be an interesting one. Let me just tell you about it. We're going to interview a group of young people who have formed a Shomer Shabbos theater company called, appropriately, 24-6. Which I think is a very clever thing to call it. They're working on a very interesting concept. They're taking the
one particular work of Joshua, I can never pronounce his, I never know how to pronounce his last name, Heschel?
Heschel, Avrom Shia Heschel.
Avrom Shia Heschel. And people are going to be, 10 different artists will be taking 10 different takes on it, and tying it in to the relevance of the Sabbath to the greening of the planets, why the Sabbath is an important element of treating the planet in a kinder, more sane way. So that'll be an interesting conversation. And after that, I'll be going to Italy. I'll be going to Rome. I will be doing Yossel Rockover in Rome at the English Theater of Rome. For those dates, you can look at our website. They'll be up soon. And then I'll be going to Israel and doing Yossel Rockover at Mendy Kahan's Jung Yiddish at his venue in Jerusalem and at his venue in Tel Aviv. We'll have those dates set soon. And, you know, I hope once it goes up on the website that you'll tell your friends and family over there in Israel about it. And so we can put some butts in seats, as the saying is. Well, I see we're coming down to the end of our hour. It's been interesting. Hopefully, nobody will listen again in 2 weeks.
Don't come back in 2 weeks.
I want to thank Shane for being our co-host today and giving us some interesting information and talking about this new book being published. And I hope some of you will take enough of an interest to buy it when it comes out.
Or steal it,
yeah. Abel, he was a good one. He was a good, there was a good Jew.
Mazur,
ja.
Besteht bei Bernstein in seiner Sammlung von jüdischen Sprichwörtern. Also ein jüdischer Ganef kann wird noch Bicher.
That's a good one. I hope you've enjoyed this hour, as I have. It's always fun to talk about Yiddish and Yiddish culture, and it's always fun to talk shit about this one and that one. you know, about the other guy's shul. You know, it's all with a good spirit, and again, Yiddish of any kind that is out there in the world needs to be supported, and I hope you will support everyone who is making an effort to bring Yiddish culture and Yiddish language to the public. And with that, I bid you a fond adieu, and hopefully you'll be able to hear, I don't know, Don, are we still on? Great going. Okay, we're off the air.
Great program,
as usual. Thanks, Shane.
Jay Cock, nothing, y'all.
Yeah. You want to hang this up?